You're listening to SBS News.
The sounds of chaos on the streets of New York City as ambulances, police and workers flee the collapse of the World Trade Center's Twin Towers. Those fortunate enough to escape stand in the rubble and describe how the planes violently collided into the buildings.
As soon as you got hit, I was thrown to a window. So I was very lucky to get out. There's a lot of people that didn't get out. There's a lot of people coming down the stairs, burnt up. It's bad.
The four attacks on September 11, 2001 were coordinated by terrorism network Al-Qaeda. Almost 3,000 people died that day. Then US President George W. Bush addressed a frightened nation and a watching world that evening.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
Worldwide attention turned to the leader and financier of the group responsible, Osama bin Laden. The Saudi fugitive had been threatening to harm the US for decades. Years earlier, in 1998, he declared a fatwa, claiming that America had declared war against God and his messenger. And he called for the murder of any American anywhere on earth. In Osama bin Laden's words, the godlessness of US society and culture was in opposition to his worldview. Al-Qaeda followed Wahhabism, an extreme form of Sunni Islam, distorted to suit the organization's own beliefs. Ahmed Shabul is the former chair of the Department of Arabic and Islamic Studies at the University of Sydney. He says extremists see violence as necessary to defend the Muslim community.
Bin Laden and his school of thought think that Islam is the best religion in the world. Muslims are the best. The Americans, I think the same. Their ideology, I mean, not every American thinks that. Not every Muslim thinks the other way. You know, bin Laden wanted to revenge what he perceived as wrongs of the Americans in their practices, in their policy in the Middle East, and then what he thought to be wrong with their way of life.
He says the group had a narrow-minded interpretation of the central religious text of Islam, the Quran.
Unfortunately, some commentators now say, oh, you must go back to the Quran to understand this. I don't agree with that, because the Quran, like the Bible, is full of all sorts of things. It depends what you pick out of it. The problem is the Al-Qaeda people and the people who taught bin Laden about Islam pick up the verses which talk about jihad and misinterpret them.
Mr. Shabul says this didn't find support among most Muslims.
I think the majority of Muslims feel very, very abhorrent about. You know, they find that these very abhorrent to them. I mean, this narrow-mindedness is not just about these people. It's like the fundamentalists in Christianity. It's like the white supremacists and so on. I think it happens when you have an ideology that's misunderstood or a religion or a civilization or a cultural identity, which has become so narrow. And it could happen in any community or any society.
In the years leading up to 9/11, the Taliban provided a safe haven for Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. While in power from 1996 to 2001, the organization offered Al-Qaeda a base where it could freely recruit, train, and deploy militants to other countries. They and other rebel groups had gained strength with international help during the 1979 to 1989 Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. Saudi Arabia and the United States supplied billions of dollars worth of secret assistance to rebel groups and warlords inside Afghanistan. When the Soviets were forced out, powerful armies were left behind.
In 1989, we started having the Soviet Union collapsing, and then the Soviet forces withdrew. And you have all of these thousands of fighters. What would they do? Because of their training in fighting the communists, then they converted their use of arms, if you like, or their jihad against the Americans and the West, and essentially against American values.
Various factions of Mujahideen took control, but quickly began to fight among themselves. The continued fighting among warlords gave rise to the radical Taliban movement. Professor Shabul says Al-Qaeda too formed a powerful organizational structure during this period, resulting in an intelligence component, military, financial, and political committees. They have claimed responsibility for numerous terrorist attacks since the early 1990s, including the bombing of US embassies in East Africa. Osama bin Laden continued to assert that the US was the enemy because of its disruptive interventions in the Middle East.
The jihadists and Al-Qaeda then started to look at, who are these Americans? What are they doing in Afghanistan? And what have they done in Palestine by helping the Israelis? What have they done in Iraq, destroying most of the infrastructure of Iraq in 1991, when they were trying to get Saddam Hussein's forces out of Kuwait?
Dr. Bunai Kampmark is a lecturer in the School of Global Urban Social Studies at RMIT University. He says bin Laden was angered by US support of Israel and sanctions against Iraq following the Gulf War.
The US record in the Middle East is one of extensive intervention, broadly speaking. We're talking about, for example, interference in the overthrow of regimes. We're talking about the overthrow of the Mossadegh regime in Iraq. We're talking about the imposition of the help, along with the British intelligence services, of the Shah. Of course, again, overthrowing a regime there that had been elected. So it's a rather patchy record, to say the least.
Dr. Kampmark says Osama bin Laden, a Saudi, also outlined his criticism of US troops in Saudi Arabia in his 1996 fatwa.
In it, he points the finger squarely at the US and he talks about the occupation of land of the two holiest sites. And so what, of course, he wants is the removal of these bases and so forth. The US presence of bases in Saudi Arabia, which became his real bone of contention. That's the thing that stands out in the rambling 30-page fatwa.
Al-Qaeda's stated aim was to overthrow regimes in the Middle East and elsewhere in the Muslim world. The organization targeted any government or individual failing to administer what it perceived as true Islamic regimes. Targeted individuals included Hosni Mubarak, president of Egypt at the time, and Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
These are individuals who are regarded by Al-Qaeda essentially as complicit with the United States, because they suppress a certain brand of theocratic Islam. They're seen to be more secular.
20 years later, and Afghanistan is back in the same place as when the US entered in 2001. Experts fear the Taliban reassumption of control in Afghanistan will again allow terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda to thrive. Dr. Kampmark says groups from all over the Middle East will want influence.
Powers like the United States have caused disruption by funding other militia groups, warlords and so on. This instability that's going to be caused is also going to arise from these other groups and militias that are also wanting a slice of influence and a slice of the pie.
The Taliban has promised explicitly not to allow foreign fighters to use Afghanistan as a base to attack other countries. But there's little trust in their promises as yet. Julia Karkatzel, SBS News.